This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. And this week's episode is about the Gourmet...
Toronto Gourmet Wine and Food Expo.
Yes. It was a great time, let me tell you.
It was a mouthful to say, apparently, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was awesome. So awesome. We recorded right after it and threw the episode out because it was that bad.
Well, it was that good of a time.
It was that good of a time that the episode was that bad.
So this is take two.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll be able to get through and express how great of a time that we had with each booth that we went to.
Now, to talk a little bit about the expo itself so you know what you're getting into, it is over a weekend. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of dealy. You don't have to go all 3 days. In fact, you probably only want to go one day. It's very cheap to get in.
Yeah.
We ended up getting flyers at the LCBO, and they had codes for $3 off. So we ended up, our tickets were $15 each, which is, you know, almost as much as a movie, less than a movie and popcorn, to be honest. The real hit to the wallet comes when you decide to go sample things, because it costs tickets to get a sample.
And it's $20 for a sheet of 20 tickets. That's
yes.
A dollar piece, which isn't that bad.
Mm-mm.
But really, if you want to have a good time, you want to have what?
Well, the site recommended $40 a person, and to be honest, we found that to be a pretty reasonable amount.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing I thought was that the food was way more than the alcohol.
Yeah. The drinks were between 1 and 3, approximately, on average,
yeah.
Tickets per drink. But the food was at least 4, usually.
If not more. There were a lot of things that were 8 to 10 tickets.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit odd. I would almost recommend next year...
Have a light lunch beforehand?
Yeah, or have a hearty brunch before you go.
Yeah.
Stop someplace on the way in, maybe hit St. Lawrence Market, grab a nice bite there, and then head down to the expo so you have not a full belly,
but you have
but
something in your stomach before you start hitting up all these wine and drink places.
We went on an empty stomach, which was great, but everything looked good when you're hungry. But... It's expensive. It's more expensive that way. And I think next year I would rather that way we can, you know, go a little more full and really take our time.
More for endurance.
Yeah. We spent about 2.5-3 hours there, and I really could have spent more time, but I was hungry and I wanted to have like a meal.
Yeah.
So, all right.
So next time, I think too, we actually said, we'd rather do $60 a person. If you do $60 a person, you're really going to get a chance to see and taste everything that you want.
Yes. You will... stint yourself on nothing. It'll just be a day of luxury. So besides the expo floor, or the what do they call that in a convention? The floor? Just the floor, I guess?
Yeah.
The dealer floor, whatever. Besides
right.
that, which was huge, they had probably a couple hundred varieties of wine there, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. A couple dozen varieties of different hard spirits. Some beer, some breweries
yeah.
came out too to play. That was
awesome.
A lot
of the major people were there, and a lot of the major craft brews were there.
But besides that, they have these things called tater tutorings. They have these things called tutor tastings that you...
What's that, Tracy? They have these things called tutor tastings?
Yes, they have these things called tutor tastings that you can participate in. You're leaving that in, aren't you?
Maybe.
And they're not cheap either. They're between $40 and $80 a person, sometimes a little bit more. We didn't attend one because we really found out about this fairly last minute or week or two ahead of time.
Yeah.
And we just weren't quite ready to drop that much cash on something that short notice.
But next year.
Next year.
Because this is in the, how many years has this been going for? Like,
I want to say at least 5 from kind of what I was reading and some of the stuff.
So there's an excellent chance it's going to be going on next year.
Mm-hmm. And it's mid-November, I'm sorry. So, perfect time of the year to wind up for Christmas, figure out what you're going to have at your Christmas parties, that sort of thing, do some research there.
Yeah, definitely.
But I digress. The tutor tastings, it's an expert leading you through tasting a certain variety or type of alcohol or wine or what have you. The one of the people that were there this year is the dude who does the Thirsty Traveler, and
yes.
he did a tutor tasting. His sold out right away. By the time we even got online to get tickets, his was already sold out.
By the time we even knew this was happening, it was too late kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think his, we might have actually made an exception to try to go to.
I would have loved to have gone, because I loved
awesome.
His show. And really, if we ever were to do like a travel show, it would probably be something fairly similar to that.
Yes.
The fellow's name is Kevin. Can't remember what his last name is, but check out the Thirsty Traveler.
One of our favorite food shows, probably. But it's such a cool concept. You can pick a genre of alcohol or beverages and sit down and learn how what to look for and what's good, what's bad. And we're not saying that, you know, you need to redo how you taste things or what you like, but it's always nice to learn more about what you're eating and drinking. And some of the tutor tastings are food-oriented. They're not all just, you know, get all buzzy.
It's just nice to be able to expand your appreciation of your favorite food or drink.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, now that you know the format, now that you know what it is at the Toronto Convention Center, by the way, downtown. Definitely recommend taking mass transit in, not just because it's easier on parking, but it gives you time to sober up to go home.
Yeah.
You are going to need to let your blood cool down a little bit. So, yeah. On to the deliciousness. Do you want to start with food or alcohol?
Does not matter to me.
Let's start with the food pile.
Alrighty. So, first off, as soon as we rolled in there,
we're sorry. We're killing an elephant in the background.
One of the first things that we did was we checked out the Texas place. They saw us. They saw we were fat chicks. They beckoned us over. We were powerless to resist.
They taunted us with their delicious, like, smoked meat.
Yeah. They had the brisket sliders.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lady there from the Texas Tourism Board. She's at Five Seasons Travel. Her name is Selena McNeil. So if you want to travel to Texas, check her out. She's at fiveseasonstravel.ca. Again, her name is Selena McNeil. And she was super nice. I have nothing but great things to say about her. Very accommodating. Really wants to educate you about where to go in Texas. There's, as she put it, no matter what you want to do, there's something to do in Texas, no matter what your interests are. So, that being said, we had the brisket sliders. And these were actually made by
Highway 61.
Which is down on...
It's in downtown Toronto, on Bayview.
Okay.
They have a nice little menu. Nothing there looks hideously overpriced. I mean, really, you're looking at...
Is it similar to Texas Roadhouse in the States? Or is it more similar to the other steakhouse that's a little bit more expensive?
It's a little bit more expensive than Texas Roadhouse, but the food looks great. It's comparable to Famous Dave's.
Yeah.
Very comparable to the Famous Dave's prices. So,
and they have a website too, highway61.ca.
So the brisket slider was delicious. It was the perfect example of how the food was so much more in terms of a ticket cost than the alcohol. It was on the way in, we'd stopped and grabbed a beer right away, and that was like one or two tickets, and then one brisket slider was five tickets. And it was okay. It was a little, like, you know, dinner roll size.
It was really tender.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was great. Nice. Delicious. It was amazing.
Was it $8 worth?
Five. Okay. Was it a $5 sandwich? Not at all.
No. And at the restaurant, it probably wouldn't even be, I'm guessing.
Mm-mm. Well, they have it on the menu. They do not. I think that was a one-off.
Is there anything comparable? Like,
no. The brisket plate is $14.
Look into the appetizers.
It's not
under
the
crab
appetizers. $12. So they don't have the sliders.
Okay.
But they have brisket, period, so there you go. But anyway, I digress. So we moved on from there. We ended up going and getting after that. I want to say that was when we grabbed the curried samosa.
That was pretty good.
And that was from Royal Elephant Thai Fusion Food. They're on Eglinton in Toronto as well. And it was just a good, tasty, quick, cheap thing to grab and put in our bellies as we were throwing more alcohol down our gullets.
Yeah.
So...
And then we also had another slider type thing too from Edo. We had the...
What was it, a slider? That was a full-blown burger.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was a full burger.
We had the Kobe beef burger from Edo. And they have a couple of different locations.
We have a ton of locations.
Well, I'm just going to tell you to go check out their...
Their site. Edosushi.com.
Yeah, because they've got a bunch of locations. But I know... Okay, the point of having a Kobe steak is for the texture because of the marbling. But I'm going to say it's okay to eat the Kobe beef burger because you're eating the trimmings from the steak.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you're not letting all that great beef go to waste.
And on top of that, I thought it was all hype.
I got it out of sheer curiosity.
And one, I don't like mayonnaise. This had wasabi mayonnaise on it. The wasabi mayonnaise complemented it perfectly.
Yeah.
Two... you're right, it tasted beefier. And we should always say it was Wagyu, not real Kobe. Wagyu is what you can get in North America. Kobe only comes from the Kobe area in Japan.
It's like the difference between...
Champagne.
Yeah, champagne and sparkling wine.
Exactly. You can only call it champagne if it's from the Champagne region. The same thing with the Wagyu. So, oh my God, it was good. That was 8 tickets. That was totally worth it, though, because you're going to pay $8 for a good burger at a good restaurant anyway. And they also had, like, platters of sushi out where you could get, like, one or two pieces of sushi. It was, like, one or two tickets depending on what you got.
It was good.
Yeah. So, really decent. Again, it was delicious to throw down our gullets with more alcohol. But I'm really impressed with how the beef was so beefy on it.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Had, like, it was like beef at a higher level kind of thing.
It was almost like a cartoon taste. It was so beefy.
Yeah, it was... I don't want to say it was a caricature, because that makes it sound like it was fake or inflated. Mm-hmm. But it was just a very concentrated beef flavor.
That was really impressive. Now, we also stopped, because I had to take care of my hot sauce guilt. Way back when we went to the X, and we did an episode on it, I believe we talked about the one place, Hot Mamas. They do hot sauces and rubs and pepper jellies and all kinds of delicious, tasty, spicy things. And I wanted to buy some. I told them we'll be back before the X is over. We didn't make it back to that booth that day because we stopped at the beer garden, the wine garden, and just never made it back out.
Then we made an episode about it.
Yes. They had some amazing hot sauces. They were at the Toronto Gourmet Wine and Food Expo, so I finally got to go back and do my penance.
And I picked up... What did you get? It was like... What did you get?
The mango pineapple. Mm. I got a bottle of that. And it's not really spicy, but it has nice flavor.
Yeah.
I really like it. I know this sounds so white trash, but I really like it on pizza. Cheese pizza, it's perfect. But it would be great as an additive if you're making some dips or some sauces or salads.
I could see it being great on any Asian dish. Mm-hmm. Like on, actually be really good on coconut shrimp.
It would be killer on coconut shrimp because it would cut right through the sweetness.
Yeah.
I think it also would be good on like a cold noodle salad.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to do some kind of fusion thing like that, that would add some spice and flavor. Hot Mamas, they do have a website, www.hotmamas.ca. Really recommend them. Their stuff is low sodium. They try to make it really natural.
Is it like a local place?
They're Canadian.
Okay.
They're actually in Pepperlaw.
Pepperlaw.
I don't have no idea where Pepperlaw is. It's in Ontario.
Yeah.
You're like, I know where it is.
Kind of.
We're slowly building my Canadian geography. It's an uphill struggle.
Well, it's not like it's a huge place, so.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And then, if there was any theme to us going to this expo, it was a day of firsts.
Let's try new things.
Exactly. Because the first time we had Kobe Wagyu beef. For the first time ever, we tried caviar. I don't remember the name of the people that were there, but they were selling caviar samples. Sheila got one to try, and I took a little nibble. And what'd you think?
It was good, but and this is where my snob, or my foodiness comes out. The way they served it wasn't exactly complimentary to the caviar. They just kind of had it on, was it a cracker, or?
It was like on a piece of like baguette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It needed sour cream. You can't just throw that on a baguette and expect to be able to get away with it. It needed a blini.
Or
it needed some sort of sour cream on it.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's just not meant to be eaten just that plainly.
I was surprised I liked it because I'm not a big fan of the fish eggs when we do sushi.
Yeah.
I don't mind them in the sushi, but I don't like it to be composed entirely of sushi, of that, for the sushi. Yeah. So for me, I was very shocked that it was as enjoyable as it was.
It was really good.
Oh, yeah. The next first is... Rodney's Oyster House was there. They're on King Street in Toronto. And they were shucking fresh oysters right in front of you.
Yeah. That was really great to try.
Yeah, I'd never had them before. You had never had them before.
Well, and it's a great form to try it because you're only buying one or three.
Yeah.
You know? So you get to really try it. And it's from a reputable place. It's from an oyster house. So you know it's not going to be just hanging out in the sun waiting for you to come along and get food poisoning.
It's not off the back of Bubba's truck down in, on the shore on the Gulf Coast.
Exactly.
So it's fairly safe to have on the shore of the Gulf Coast right after they're recovering, the natural environment from the oil spill.
Exactly.
Let's get oysters then. No. These were some, they looked like they were high quality. We loved them both. We thought they were excellent.
We found a new favorite dish kind of thing.
We did. Definitely with some hot sauce on them, but really good.
Lemon's good on it, too.
Lemon's good on it. That's what inspired us to go to Big Daddy's later for dinner.
I'm like, let's go there. They have oysters, too.
Yes. So I wouldn't mind checking out Rodney's, though, at some point if we're in Toronto, too.
Definitely.
Oysters were delicious. And I think, you also had a prosciutto slider, which wasn't anything to really write home about. It was just regular prosciutto, but it was
good.
But
it was tasty.
It was
if you like prosciutto, you'll like it.
Yeah. It was a nice little, intermediate, or running by kind of snack.
Well, and it was from because the cheese board was there, too, and I can't remember the name of the company that sells the prosciutto in most of the supermarkets, but it's a white package. I want to say it's like Serrano, but I don't think that's it, or Sorrento. That might not
be
the name.
Sargento, like the cheese?
I don't think so. But if you see the package, you know about it.
Well, I can always consult the expo guide and see if they're listed. No, they're not. I don't think it was really them there. I think it was just a company that uses their stuff.
Had them? Okay.
Yeah. So, but was a nice little quick run-by snap kind of thing. The only other non-alcoholic food type thing we had was the San Pellegrino.
Oh, yeah.
We were all excited. We thought there was going to be a San Pellegrino booth.
We were going to try and get some swag for one of our friends, Bronwyn.
Who loves San Pellegrino. Some,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe they have like a bottle opener or a towel or
a bag or something. We're like, yeah, we'll get her some cool San Pellegrino thing. All it was a big bin of San Pellegrino on ice that you could just grab, which was awesome.
It was
very cool
to have.
That was nice just to be able to grab that after you were feeling a little buzzy.
But I was kind of expecting some swag.
But I have to admit, when you're starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed by your consumption, the San Pellegrino really cut through everything and brought you back down. That was really good.
Well, it tricks you into thinking that you're drinking pop because it's got that nice carbonation, but you're drinking nothing but water.
I can see why she keeps it around, like, or the Nestle carbonated stuff, because it does, it's a nice spacer. It's nice to have for a change. So I think that's all the food things we tried, which sounds so meager and insignificant.
Well,
but
this
at the time,
over.
It was like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
On to the booze.
That's a pretty big pile.
Actually, the booze pile is very small. We didn't grab things everywhere we went. So we're going to have to recreate this from memory. The first thing we stopped and got was a beer at...
Because there was quite a few breweries there that were set up. Molson was there. Was Labatt's there as well?
Yeah.
Mill Street was there.
It was Mill Street, wasn't it, that we stopped at?
I think it was Mill Street we stopped at. But
maybe not. They were further down.
Steam Whistle was there, I think, as well.
I think so. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong side. That's wrong. We had a delicious beer on the way in that we cannot remember. That's how good it was.
I'm pretty sure it was from Mill Street, though.
I'm pretty sure it was in Mill Street, too. Yeah, because they had the organic on tap, and they had a few other ones. We both got something dark.
It was a porter, wasn't it?
I think it was a porter. I think it was Mill Street was the porter. Anyway, by the way, the format that you get the drinks in is when you get your ticket, you go and get your hand stamped when you go in. After you do that, there's a big table of wine glasses set up that say, you know, Toronto Wine and Food and Gourmet Wine and Food Expo on it, 2011. And you just take a glass. And it has a little line that says 1 ounce, and it has a little line that says, like, 4 ounces. And the 4 ounce line's, like, not quite halfway up the glass.
Yeah.
And then when
it's
you...
It's a 6 ounce glass, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. And so when you go to these places, you just give them your wine glass, and they give you the appropriate portion that they're giving you for the tickets you've given. And there are rinsing stations all throughout the floor that you can go and rinse your glass out, so you're not pouring, like, pale ale over, like, red wine or something.
Right. Which is really nicely the way they had that set up.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I'd just like to take this moment to jump in and say, if you're a lady, I'm a lady, you're going to want to get your hand stamped right off the bat, because the bathroom for the ladies is actually outside the convention center.
Well, both of them are. We're outside the display floor.
Right. There's a bathroom for the men inside the convention center, but no bathroom for the ladies.
Really?
Yes, because I had to keep leaving,
well,
remember?
That sucks. I didn't realize there was one for them. I thought they were both outside.
Nope. There's one for the dudes.
And the second recommendation is get them to stamp your hand a little further up on your wrist. So you don't wash it off. Yeah, the ink kept washing off. So, we digress. But the format's really nice. It's just like if you go to a beer festival or something, and you do your tickets and get your little sample glass. The glasses are really nice. We still have ours. We haven't broken them yet. We're trying hard.
Is it a $3 replacement?
It's a $3 replacement. And they had Second Harvest Food Bank there.
Yes.
And you could either donate leftover tickets to them, or you could donate your glass, and I think it was like $4 or $5 towards Second Harvest.
Yeah.
We ended up donating some tickets because we wanted to keep the glasses. But Second Harvest is one of those food groups. They're all over the place, states and Canada. Really quality charity. They're one of the charities where they're, I don't want to say it's profit margin, because it's not a profit margin, but their operating expenses are very low. So a very high percentage of what they're getting goes to the people who need it.
For example, whenever you donate, whatever you donate, they match, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Depending on if it's the United States or Canada.
So it goes, if you give them $2, it kind of turns into $4 worth of food. And then on top of that, they get great wholesale deals with what they're doing. So they kind of turn it into more like $6 or $8 worth of food.
They're able to help a lot of people.
Yeah, they're really good. So I thought that was awesome that they were there. And I really liked the setup they have, where they weren't trying to hustle you for cash. Because at that point, you're like, I've got an extra ticket. Here you go.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've gone to the expo multiple years in a row and you don't really need another glass, you can donate your glass.
Totally. That was awesome.
Which is nice.
Now, the high points of what we had there, because we tried a bunch of different beers, was my favorite beer of the day, and we actually grabbed the thing from them, too, was the Granville Island Brewing Company, and they were one of the earliest microbreweries in Canada, and they do an English Bay Pale Ale, and I'm not, again, a huge pale ale fan. I'm not a hophead, but it was delicious.
It's more a pale ale like Keith's, mm-hmm. where it's a little bit hoppy, but not over crazy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Really, hands down, great.
The guy who we were talking to there was really, really nice, too. I know we stopped there. We stopped at Mill Street. There was another brewery we stopped at.
I'm sure there was another one, but I can't remember what it is.
No. I'm going to let Sheila talk about the next one, because this was like an experience and a half.
Well, a lot of times, you're going through the LCBO, if you live in Ontario, and you're seeing stuff that looks really interesting, and you're thinking, if only I could have a taste of that. I'd be more than willing to drop the money on the bottle, but I want to be able to check it out first. And that's how I felt every time I walked by the Victoria Gin bottle. It's $50 for a 26er, and I really wanted to check it out, but I wasn't quite willing to drop the money on getting a whole bottle of something you're not necessarily going to like, especially if it's gin, where it's a very individual taste. We roll up there, and the chick behind the counter was amazing. I can't remember what her name was, but there's a picture of her on the Facebook page.
Yes.
So we go up there, and the first thing I saw was, hey, it's Victoria Gin. The second thing I saw was, oh my god, they have the Fever Tree tonic water for mixer. And as soon as I said that, she's like, yes, because we at Victoria Gin believe that if you're going to spend the amount of money on a premium liquor, you should spend the money on a premium mixer and not just either be forced to drink it straight if you don't necessarily want to do it that way, but you feel bad putting any mix in it, or two, using cheap mixer.
Well, I love the idea that she put in there. You don't always have to drink a good liquor straight. There's nothing wrong with using mixer. Just get good mixer.
Exactly.
Because there's nothing wrong with having a good mixed drink, like the Dark and Stormies we've been making.
Yeah. We go get the Reed's ginger beer.
Yeah, get the good ginger beer, put it in with some decent rum, and it's amazing.
Exactly.
But it's not as good if you get a cheap ginger ale. It's not
it just means you can have two or three great drinks instead of drinking six mediocre drinks. And we're at the point in our lives where we're willing to make that choice, and that's what we'd rather do.
Yes.
So the Fever Tree is a small batch crafted, it's almost like a microbrew, but it's not alcoholic, of tonic water, and it's made in the UK. And I've been reading different things about it, and I really wanted to try it. And there's a couple places around Toronto that sell it, but first of all, three tickets?
It was three tickets, and she had you try it straight.
Yeah, I took a sip of it straight. That was nice. Then she mixed the Fever Tree in with it.
She did the bitters with it, I thought.
I thought the bitters were the cap.
Okay, you're right.
Instead of putting citrus in.
Yeah, you're right.
Then she put the Fever Tree in, and that was divine. It was bubbly. It had a really very great bitter quinine taste, which is the hallmark of any great tonic water. Mm-hmm. It was really nice. It wasn't sweet. It was just right. That was great. Then she had the special bitters that Victoria Gin makes, and it's like a citrus bitters. So instead of throwing a lemon in and having all those lemon bones floating around to choke you to death, you can just throw some of this in, and it was really, really good. That was a top shelf cocktail.
Oh,
nice.
I took a taste of it after it was fully mixed, and dear God, that knocked my socks off. I want to lay hands on the Fever Tree tonic. Because Victoria Gin's good. The Fever Tree tonic was awesome.
Yeah.
And the bitters just capped it. So
the tasting notes of it were very... you could really taste the juniper, the citrus, the floral, and the spice in it. It's very similar to Hendrick's in the fact that where you can really taste those things, or Bombay Sapphire.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a really great quality gin that I could totally drink straight.
And it wasn't as burny as Bombay Sapphire.
No.
Because Bombay Sapphire is still a really good quality, but it gets a little burny. I enjoyed that she explained to us everything there was to know about the gin, including what London Dry Style was.
Yes. London Dry Style is when they cook it all together.
The infusion's done before the fermentation. It's not added later.
Yep. And then, is it they throw a bit more in afterwards to kind of bring it up?
I think so.
Whereas some other ones are, if it's not a London Dry Style gin, they make the liquor basically like straight gin.
Bathtub
and
gin.
And then they...
throw the botanicals in after the fact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And steep it.
Yeah. But it was fantastic. 100% would love to pick a bottle of it up when we start restocking the shelves. Oh. Right now we're awash in leftover holiday party supplies, so...
Yeah. They have a website, victoriaspirits.com. And they're not just called Victoria because of Queen Victoria. They're called Victoria because they're from Victoria, BC.
Oh. Well, that's cool. I had no idea.
I just read that on the flyer, so.
Nice.
Excellent, excellent. Check that out.
So now we get to talk about my find of the expo. Yeah. I admit it, I'm a little bit of a... I have a thing for, all decent hard liquors, to be honest. I'm the whiskey grandma. I have no grandchildren, though. We have to work on that. I don't want children, just the grandchildren. But, you know, I like
the grandchildren.
I like a good scotch. I like a good whiskey. I like a good tequila. I'm really becoming a tequila person.
Like the Reposadas
Yeah. I love stuff. Gin now because of you. You've really turned me on to it. But I've always, ever since I was of drinking age, I've always liked vodka. That was my spirit of choice in college. I could do vodka with anything. I could drink it straight. It's just awesome.
You went beyond just the screwdrivers thing. You really have an appreciation for the spirit itself.
Exactly. I love the vodka martini. That's what turned me on to martinis in the first place. Because at the time... Didn't like gin. But now, you know, I've seen the light.
You just have to find the right gin.
Find the right gin. Don't drink the crap bottom shelf gin that they sell.
That's... If it's already flavored with lemon, it's probably a bad idea.
Yes. Then they're just trying to hide the earwax flavor. So they had United Stars spirits, I guess is what they are, at the show. And they do a couple different beverages, but one of the ones they brought with them was called Cortitia. And that's spelled Khortytsa. And we saw the big display, and it's a Ukrainian vodka. And my family's Ukrainian. Like, you know, I'm going to go give some support to the distant cousins, go over and check it out. And one of the cool things was you got a free shot glass. It was only, I think, 2 or 3 tickets. You got a free shot glass with it. They had the vodka well iced, which is really how you should drink it. Again, you can drink it however you want. Don't let anybody tell you how to drink your scotch, gin, whatever.
But what you
have
like.
What you like. I'm a big fan of having it well iced. Now, vodka, to me, belongs in the freezer. If you don't have room in the freezer, thaw the ground meat and cook it and eat it and put the vodka
in there.
So
your tacos will be good. Yeah. The vodka will be better.
I was impressed that they had pickles out with it to have, because salty things go great with vodka. It's one of the reasons caviar goes great with vodka,
and
which I didn't know until
great
I had
a martini.
Exactly, because of the salt. That's so good. Makes me want to go buy a bottle of it right now. This
okay.
is sad.
Let's go do it.
Well,
after we're done this podcast, let's go do it.
Here's the kicker. Cortitia, and the woman who explained all this to us, you know, explained it's distilled 7 times, which is ridiculous. It's smooth. It just was awesome. I would say, to me, one of my favorite vodkas has always been Vox. Vox gets very pricey.
Yeah.
I've had Grey Goose. Not a big fan of Grey Goose. It's okay. It's good. I'm not going to say it's okay. It's good.
Yeah.
But I like Vox better. This was as good as, if not better, either. Than either of those. This was just smooth. It had good flavor. Drinking a good vodka is not dissimilar from drinking a good cold sake.
Yes.
The flavors are very similar. They're both there.
They should be very clean. There should be minimal burn.
A little bit of crispness to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
obviously there's going to be more burn with the vodka, but
exactly.
You're going to have something there. Yeah.
But there was very little burn, because I took a sip of yours and I was like, wow, even I could drink this straight like a Russian spy from some sort of awesome movie.
Now, the punchline to all this, the thing that made both our jaws drop, is it's $17 a bottle in Ontario.
I thought she said 70, like 70.
No, 17.
Like 17.
Yes. It's ridiculously cheap. It's an amazing vodka. And it's Ukrainian, which, you know, obviously makes it better, in my mind. Again, shout out to the far, long, distant cousins. Good job, guys. You make a killer vodka.
Obviously, I love Ukrainians too, right?
Yes. But that was my find of the show. Just finding that was mind-blowing.
That was
awesome.
An epic find.
Yeah. Some of the wines we tried, we had a really good Portuguese wine. I don't remember what it was, but the picture's on the website. We tried and actually bought a bottle of cranberry wine from Muskoka Lakes Winery.
Mm.
You got the blueberry cranberry. I got the cranberry wine. We both took a couple sips and said, this is good, but switched glasses and we're
that's
in
better.
Love. With what we had.
Which happens to us sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
My parents had bought a cranberry wine a long time ago when they were in New England doing the tourist thing. And they really liked it. So we ended up picking up a bottle of the blueberry cranberry for them for a Christmas gift. So that was a happy accident. That was another thing that was really cool about the expo. The gift shop.
Yes. There was an LCBO gift shop right in there.
Yeah.
So if there was something you wanted, you could take... Everybody had business cards with the call number.
The LCBO
like the inventory number.
Yeah.
So you could walk in and say, I want this.
which is what we did, because at that point we really were in no condition
to articulate what we wanted. We weren't sloppy.
We were merry. But at the same time, a lot of these wineries sound the same. We're like Muskoka something, and they just look at you blankly because there's like 16 different things at the LCBL called Muskoka something. So we just walked in with a little card, and we said, this. We'd like this. Do you have that? Yes, we do. It's right here. Thank you.
Awesome. We want this one. Have a great day.
But very sweet. The cranberry was very tart. The cranberry blueberry had that nice hint of sweetness. But they were total fruit wines. If you're not a fruit wine fan, you might want to steer clear. I did try German Riesling. I believe I had the Relax, which I've never actually bought a bottle of before. It's because it looks so, like, slick in its advertising. I figured it can't be good.
But you said it was decent.
It was good. I'd totally pick it up. I'm still a bigger fan of some of the other ones, but that was pretty good. Then, the capper for the show, the end, the grand finale, is we tried some scotch. We had the...
Beaumont?
Yeah, the Beaumont Islay.
Beaumont 12-year-old Islay. Did we both have it?
Oh, you had the Beaumont. You had the Alcanto. Oh, you should give that one a shot.
I had the Alcantotian. The Alcantotian 12-year-old Lowland Single Malt. And Tracy had the Beaumont 12-year-old Islay Single Malt. Both were great.
Fantastic.
They're both distributed through the Lifford Wine Agency. And you can find both at the LCBO.
Yeah. And the tasting notes were, they were scotch. I mean, they weren't too peaty. They weren't really aggressive. They were very mellow.
They were traditional style scotches.
They were very traditional, yeah.
And that's another thing, is trying scotches is great because you don't want to necessarily shell out the cash if you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
Chances are you'll choke it down, but you want to really be able to find the ones that you really love and then keep those around.
And those, I think, were 4 or 5 tickets each. But you go to a bar to get that, and they give you a full ounce.
Yeah.
You go to a bar to get an ounce, that's going to be $8, $9, if not more, depending where you've gone to get your beverage. So,
I mean, the best thing to do is to go to the distillery or go to the brewery and do the tasting. But if you can't get to Scotland, at least you know you can go to the expo and check some stuff out.
Exactly. And there were a couple other beverages picked up here and there as we bumbled our way through the expo. 100%. Hearty to that chick, thumbs up. It was great.
Maybe next year we can go as press.
That would be awesome. If you would like to see us go as press, we need to become more popular. We're pretty gosh darn popular now. We're definitely up there when it comes to food podcasts on Podbean. We get a large number of feed hits a week, a day even now through iTunes. But if you'd like to help us out, tell a friend. Tell two friends. We have kind of a New Year's resolution. We're going to try to do some more podcasts when the New Year hits.
Yep. We're going to try to
ramp it back up.
Try to put it back to a weekly podcast.
I'd like to. Well, Oshawa lately has been booming in restaurants. I think 4 or 5 new ones have opened up downtown. We need to explore that. We need to get our butts back to Peterborough. We need to get our butts back to Port Perry. Because I know there's a ton of places up there we want to check out. And there's the whole wide world of Toronto to explore, too.
Exactly. Plus, there's all the different books, all the different documentaries that have come out.
Exactly.
So we've got a lot of things to check out. If there's something that you think we should turn our attention to, please email us.
Definitely.
At zwyfatchicks@gmail.com.
Or Twitter us. Zwyfatchicks at Twitter. We're on Facebook.
We're on Facebook.
Facebooks.
On the Facebooks.
On the Facebooks. Now I'm like a 65-year-old woman. On the Facebooks, dear. I'm going to poke you.
Grandma, stop poking me.
It's weird. But we'd love to hear from some of you. We get comments sporadically here and there, but give us your feedback.
We've never actually ever received an email, ever.
No, it's all
nobody
through Podbean or Facebook.
Right, so
we're lonely. Talk to us.
We really love getting comments on our Podbean page, but it would be great if you'd email us too.
Yeah.
Give us suggestions, comments, queries, anything. Any show ideas you want to shoot our way, let us check it out.
And I think our next episode's actually going to be another book review, which is usually pretty popular. Don't understand that. But hey, people like books. Books are delicious. We're actually both reading right now The Botany of Desire. It's another Michael Pollan book. And it's really neat, and I'm looking forward to talking about it.
We're both into the second of 4 chapters, so...
Yeah, we're racing each other.
Exactly.
Yes. Through the magic of Kobo Books, we can read it at the same time.
Yay!
So, anything else you want to add about the expo?
I don't think
anything
so.
Anything about Big Daddy's you want to add?
It was a great time. Oh, Big Daddy's.
Oh, the oysters at Big Daddy's.
Yes.
We need to talk about that, because that's hilarious.
This is one more little anecdote for the road.
So...
We always get the prefix menu at Big Daddy's, because that's pretty much the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we get for the appetizer?
Mm. We both got the PEI mussels.
Right.
And then we both got the
I got etouffee.
I had etouffee as well for the dish, the main course. And then I had the creme brulee.
Okay, and I had the Bourbon Street bread pudding.
Yes.
But we also ordered on the side, because it was voodoo hour.
The small appetizer of oysters.
Was it 6 or 7?
I want to say it was 6. We had 3 each.
Okay.
And we were totally turned on to them at the expo. And we thought this is the time to get them. Honestly, we could have just made a meal out of them and gotten a couple orders of them because they were that good.
Yes.
And it comes out at Big Daddy's. Like when you go to a pancake house, they bring out that giant thing of syrups.
The wheel of syrups.
They had the wheel of oyster toppings they brought out, like the little carrier of it. And they put it down. They had all these different hot sauces and cocktail sauces you could put on it. And then this, like, nice, like, platter of ice comes out with your oysters already shucked, ready to go on top. And there was this grated stuff on it on the ice. So we popped the first one in our mouth with a little hot sauce.
We both, I think, ate 2 of them. And we're like, man, these are amazing. These are great. Hey, what's this shredded white stuff here? It must be Parmesan cheese. That'd be good on an oyster. So we both grabbed a handful and threw it on there. Because it was probably, like, a pile as big as my fist.
It wasn't quite that big.
We both grabbed a big, huge pinch, threw it on the oyster, threw some hot sauce on it, squirted a lemon, slurped that down, and we're like, oh my god, at the same time, it's not cheese, it's horseradish.
I loved it. She was in pain.
It was good, but my god, it was too much for me. So if you ever go there, that's not cheese on the side, it's horseradish.
Yes. Word to the wise. But it was delicious. And as always, Big Daddy's was just absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I love that place.
Great service, great food, great prices.
Yeah.
Well, you can't beat it.
It's pricey, but for Toronto prices, it's insanely reasonable.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All things being relative.
Exactly. So this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on Facebook and or follow us on Twitter. You can email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends. Please make sure that credit is given. Thanks for listening and have a great day.